Continuing our study of the book of Revelation, we are in the 8th chapter, the first 5 verses. Listen to God's word. When the Lamb opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the 7 angels who stand before God, and 7 trumpets were given to them. Another angel with a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given a great quantity of incense to offer with the prayers of the saints on the golden altar that is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. There is no joy in Mudville. The Steelers lost. But it is a reminder that we are full swing in another season of football. And for some that is wonderful news, and for others that is something greatly to be tolerated and worked through. And maybe you'll see your husbands sometime in the near future. If the Steelers keep losing, Kathy will see me a lot because I won't watch. One of the signs in football that not only referees make, but actually players and coaches make is this. It's familiar, right? We know what that means, don't we? What's it mean?
Timeout.
Yeah, when timeout is called, everything stops. Time no longer ticks away on that hour of clock. Of time that a game, and timeouts can be called for various reasons. Actually, there are TV timeouts that we don't see, but they're built into the flow of the game, and the referees know when to call that. Well, did you know in music there's timeouts? Some timeouts occur when, let's say, there's a soloist, violinist with an orchestra, and then in the middle of a movement or towards the end of it, the orchestra stops, time out, and the violinist or the pianist just plays in freestyle. They're not being conducted by the conductor. They're doing it themselves, and usually they're showing off their virtuosity during this time. And choir people, I'm sure, know that section is called a what?
Credenza.
A credenza. Yes, thank you very much. I'm coming back to you one more time. Yes, that's called a credenza. But did you know that there is another timeout in music when there is complete silence? Time stops. Nobody is marking the time of the rhythm or of the piece. It stops, and there's a sign for it in the music, which is like 2 parallel lines. Like an equal sign, but on its side, tilted, and that is called.
Sashura.
Say again.
Sashura.
Sashura is the technical word for that. But we know it more as a, look at the sermon title, a grand pause. That's what it's called. It says, sure, I didn't know that after going to music school and graduating that it was called a Sashura until this week. And Dawn, I'm so proud of you. You almost make up for the perform, not the musical performance, but the vocabulary performance of the chorale. Okay, let's move forward here. Timeout. In a timeout, everything stops. Well, what we have here in at the beginning of the eighth chapter of the book of Revelation, and this is, we left off where Janus, last year when we stopped in June, we left off where Janus stopped in the seventh chapter. So we're moving things ahead now. But before we move ahead, there's this grand pause. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Now, if I didn't have time to prepare my sermon this week, I could stop right there and say that our task today is to experience a grand pause. But I won't, because I did prepare. The grand pause takes place at this key time, and it lasts a half an hour. You know, sometimes when we have silent prayer in church, for the prayers of the people or the prayers of the church, sometimes we'll have silent prayer. And you know, if it goes for two or three minutes, it feels like a long time. Parents are worried about whether the kids are going to make noise or too squirmy. Guaranteed somebody will cough, okay, after a couple minutes. Because we're so used to filling our lives with time that when we're together and we just stop and there's silence, it can be really something, for some people, an unnerving experience. We breathe a little bit of sigh of relief when the minister or whoever picks up the prayer or the chorale moves to the offertory or whatever, when sound and performance enters back in. Well, you know, there are pauses at times in our lives for various reasons. One reason that we experience pauses are because of what has just happened. I remember seeing the movie Les Mis, and I just saw it after the last Academy Awards, when Anne Hathaway won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress. And in that scene in Les Mis, I went to the movie theater with my stepdaughter Lindsay. In that scene where she is in the brothel for the first time, and if you haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil the scene for you, but she won the Academy Award because of that scene, I think. It's she sings this song, and the way they shot that movie, you may recall knowing, is that the singing was actually live as they were shooting it. The singing didn't take place in a studio. The background music did. But they were singing live to like a piano accompaniment or recording or something, and then the orchestra was filled in. And in that scene, which is a fairly long scene, Anne Hathaway, that scene was shot at one time. That doesn't mean it was the first take of it, but it meant from the beginning of that scene on that song that she began singing till the end of it, there was no break in the shooting of that scene. And when it was over, all I could, the theater was stunned in silence for what we had experienced. And all I could do was look over to Lindsay and just go, I didn't even want to say it, just mouth it. Maybe you've experienced something like that in hearing a great piece of music or something else that has been so spectacular that has happened that you are left without words. Robin Williams, upon his death, Billy Crystal, the comedian, with all the tweets they tweeted, said, "There are no words." Sometimes the only response we can have after something that has happened is silence. Well, certainly a lot has happened in this section of the book of Revelation. This is a key transition point, but it kind of fulfills things that have happened before. If you remember the first seven chapters, I'm not going to go through everything, but it involves a vision that the Apostle John has to seven of the churches of Asia Minor. And then that theme and then they shift to where there's a scroll that nobody can open, that has seven seals on it. Then we find it's the Lamb who can open the seals. And then the last chapters that we've been dealing with through chapter 7 is the opening of those seals, one after the other after the other. The first four are the four horsemen of the apocalypse, as they're known. The four riders, the first one is empire and kingdoms, the quest for power in that way. The second one is war, which the lack of peace. The third one, you may remember, is famine or economic injustice, which leads to famine. The fourth one is death itself. Death actually as a tool for empire, as a tool for power, not just death in general, although that's certainly a part of the picture. Then the fifth seal, we may remember, is the martyrs who have died because of the first four, who have died because of the quest for empire and specifically at the time it is written, we're talking about the Roman Empire. But there are always martyrs. Every age, every generation has martyrs. We have martyrs today who are dying for their faith because somebody is in a quest for power, for wealth, not for justice, not for fair distribution of resources and food, but they want it for themselves. And then the sixth seal are the portends that something is about to happen, the earthquake, the storms, the whatever else is going on there, the winds. I could read them, but I'm just doing this off the top of my head. They're there. And then after those first six seals, there is a pause. Not the grand pause, like this one, but there's more like an interlude. The theme changes a little bit. It's related to those six seals, and we have the sealing of the saints. The 144,000 and what they symbolize. And then looking ahead on what we've learned as the term prolepsis, or looking ahead proleptically, we see the scene in heaven where all of the saints throughout all of history who have come through the tribulation, who have come through the persecution, who have come through these times, who have conquered, not militarily, but who have conquered by their steadfast witness to the truth of Christ. Heaven and earth and the thousands and millions who are singing praise to God who have come through there. And then one more seal to be opened. After all of that has happened, and the Lamb opens the seventh seal, which means now the document itself can be unscrolled. And God's plan for addressing the circumstances of what we have already unfolded in the seven seals is now going to play itself out. But before we get there, just the bringing to light, the exposing of the sin and evil in the world when the seventh seal is open, the only response can be silence. For what has happened. But there's also the silence of anticipation. I did a quasi little experiment today twice. When I got up for the announcements, I paused. And you became silent. Before I read the scripture, I paused. And there was silence. There was, that silence is not for what has happened, but what we're anticipating is going to happen. It's the silence in any race where the starter goes, on your mark, get set. And you're waiting. Go. It's the silence of when the conductor in the orchestra takes the baton and lifts it. Nobody plays any, there's no more tuning of the instruments. There's no more fiddling around with anything. The audience becomes quiet and there's silence before the music begins. There's that silence in here too. Something is about to begin. It's a key transition here in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is organized around the number seven. The theme of seven comes up over and over again. We've seen the seven letters to the seven churches, seven lampstands before that, seven spirits of God before that. And we have worked our way now through the unveiling of the seven seals. But the seventh seal is really the last barrier to the opening of everything that's going to happen. And what's going to break the silence in heaven? Even as all watch that angel take the incense and the prayers of the prayers, perhaps the prayers of the saints are breaking that silence. You can read this passage in a couple of ways. Or for sure, what's going to break it is the trumpet. For now, seven angels, seven trumpets are about to be blown, are about to be played, one after another, with great consequence for each. There's good stuff to come, and we're going to work our way through it. But lastly, we've looked at the silence of what has happened, the response, the silence for what we anticipate, and then there's a silence sometimes for what is going on right now. Not what has happened, not what's going to happen, but what is happening. C.S. Lewis talks about that silence sometimes as we experience beauty. We know that we're experiencing it. We want it to last. We don't only want to see it, we want to feel it. We want to enter into it. We don't want it to stop. When you look at the beauty of a rainbow, the awesomeness of God's creation, the ocean, the mountains, whatever touches you, a great work of art, whatever, in that moment, the experience of it, sometimes it is silence that demonstrates how significant and awesome that moment is. There is silence in heaven when the Lamb opens the seventh seal, because they know God is there. God has worked all on up through to this point. They know that God is about to work to begin the cleansing and to begin everything that needs to happen before the new creation, the new heaven, and the new earth can be actualized. And the saints have a role in that. But in the moment now, there is a silence that is the appropriate response in the presence of God. When Elijah was fleeing Jezebel, God brought him up to a mountain and had him go outside from a cave and stand. And it says that there was the wind, a tornado. God wasn't in the wind. There was, what was the next one? Fire, but God wasn't in the fire. I think that's one. And the last one was an earthquake. God wasn't in the earthquake. But God came to Elijah in a still, small voice, for which one has to be quiet to hear. When John, in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, gets his first vision of the resurrected, glorified Jesus Christ, he falls at his feet as though dead. Quiet. Silent. The psalmist tells us, before God, God himself tells us, be still and know that I am God. When you know that God is present, as the scripture says, God is in his temple, let the whole earth be silent before him. When you're in the presence of God, to be aware of that presence, to be in awe of all that God has done. It is to be in awe with anticipation of all that God is going to do. And in the moment, sometimes, just have to be quiet in the presence of God.